जयं शुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान अभयचरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जयं नित्यलीला प्रविष्ट ओम शुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की आनंदगोड़ वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्यामकुंड राधाकुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुनमाई की तुलसीदेवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरियस द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस श्री श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namaham Shubhadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhudale Shamiri Bhaktivedanda Swami Dinamini Namaste Saraswati Vamgavaravani Prajarini Narvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Desha Dharini ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय जन्म संसार सागरे मग्नम दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राह गृहीतांगं मामुद्धर भवार्णवात् श्रीमद्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भव सागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोर्स्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपाप प्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परम् जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वयादितरतश्चातेषु अभिज्ञस्वराट् तेने ब्रह्म हृदाय आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरयाम् तेजो वारिमृदम् यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकम् सत्यम् परम् धीमहि धर्मप्रोज्जितकैतवोऽत्र परमो नर्मत्सराणाम् सदाम् वेद्यम् वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदम् तावत्त्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनि कृते किं वा परैरीश्वरः सद्यो हृद्यवरुध्यतेऽत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तत्क्षणान् निगमकल्पदरोर्गलितम् फलम् शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतम् पिबदा भागवतम् रसमालयम् मुहुरहोरसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तावत्त्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयम् नुमा यम् प्रव्रजन्तम् हनुभेदमभेदकृत्यम् द्वैवायनो विरहकातरमजुहावाम् पुत्रेति तन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तम् सर्वभूतहृदयम् मुनिम् हानतोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपमदितिदीर्षदाम् तमोऽन्धम् സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണ ഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനും ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണു കൊണിതാദൃതാനനേന്ദോഃ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാ മുരാരേ മധുരീം ന കണികാപി കാപി കാപി നമഃ ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതീ ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പശ്ചാത്യാദേശതാരിണേ ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യം നമഃ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശാ യാസം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദീഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദഗീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശ മനിഷം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയന് വേണം ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം പുരതോ മമാം മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധയായ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So, continuing from the Ekadasha Skandam, from Pipalayana Maharshi's discussions with King Nimi, that's what we were talking about. Pipalayana Maharshi spoke to King Nimi, and King Nimi explained about Krishna, Narayana, who is Narayana. That's what he has spoken. So you will see there that the the same point was discussed much later between Krishna and Uddhava also. That's what we were discussing last Sunday. If you look there, you will see in the 13th chapter that verse came out. Icheda vibramamidam manaso vilasam ദൃഷ്ടം വിനഷ്ടം അതിലോലമലാതചക്രം വിജ്ഞാനമേകമുരുദേവ വിഭാതിമായ സ്വപ്നസ്ത്രിത ഗുണവിസർഗകൃതോ വികൽപാഹം വേഴ്സ് 34 1-3 ഈക്ഷേദ വിഭ്രമമിതം മനസോ വിലാസം ദൃഷ്ടം വിനഷ്ടം അതിലോലമലാതചക്രം വിജ്ഞാനമേകമുരുദേവ വിഭാതിമായ സ്വപ്നസ്ത്രിത ഗുണവിസർഗ കൃതോ വികൽപാഹം കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ദയർ ടു ഉദ്ധവ ദാറ്റ് ഈക്ഷേദ വിഭ്രമമിതം ഓൾ ദാറ്റ് വാട്ട് ഈസ് ബീയിംഗ് സീൻ ബൈ അവർ ഐസ് മനസോ വിലാസം ഓൾ ഡ്യൂ ടു ദ മൈൻഡ് ദാറ്റ്സ് വാട്ട് യു ആർ സീയിങ് It is because of the presence of the mind that we experience all these varieties in the creation. These varieties in the creation, different names, forms, everything is experienced because of the presence of the mind. Krishna says, drishtam vinashtam adilolam alata chakram. That at the same time, Krishna wants us to know that all that what we are seeing, drishtam, is vinashtam. Vinashta means it will be destroyed one day. It has no permanent existence. This is the first thing to realize. Krishna says, Drishtam Vinashtam Adilolam Alata Chakram. Adilolam means it's continuously moving. It is continuously moving. Because it's moving, it is very moving in the sense that the everything that is in the creation is changing. all the time. And because it is changing, it doesn't have a permanent existence. It's constantly under change, subject to change. Because of this change, it has no real existence. It's a very, very temporary manifestation of the Supreme Lord has come in that form. But our mind will not accept that. Mind will only say it is permanent. Everything looks permanent to us in this world. We, on the other hand, we are thinking we come and we go, but all the rest of the world exists here. That's how we take it. But Krishna is saying to Uddhava, it is not like that. Drishtam vinashtam adilolam aladachakram. Aladachakram is the example given here. Just like if you have a piece of firewood and it's burning, and in one hand if you hold it, and if you rotate it very fast, it will appear as though the fire is moving in a circle. You'll get the impression that the fire forms, fire, the shape of the fire is in a form of a circle, depending on how fast you rotate that. So similarly, because it is based on the movement of this firewood, you are experiencing in your mind that a circle of fire exists. A circle of fire exists. So similarly, Krishna is saying here that because of this mind, nature of the mind is such, drishtam vinashtam atilolam alatachakram, that you are seeing something, but it is continuously changing, which you are not aware of. You are not taking note of that, Krishna says. And because it is continuously changing, it is nothing but a creation of the mind. The mind has created that. Because of the presence of mind only, this has happened. This particular situation has happened. That's why Krishna is pointing out to us some of the important characteristics of the mind, how mind mislead us in so many ways. And this is the mind which we are trusting all the time. And this mind, Krishna says, as long as you are trusting this mind, there is not much hope. This is the very straightforward comment here. Drishtam vinashtam adilolam alata chakram vijnanamegam urudheva vibhadi maya sutnastritha triguna visarga krito vikalpaha. Actually, there is only one knowledge, one consciousness, pure consciousness, and it is knowledge. That consciousness, nature of the consciousness is knowledge. Vijnanamegam, there is only one knowledge. We classify that because of our mind. This department, that subject, everything. That is our mental faculty or mental creation that is. Strictly speaking, that doesn't exist. Vijnanamegam urudheva vibhadi maya sutnastritha triguna visarga krito vigalpaham. Actually it has come, vijnanamegam. But why do we feel like this? So many different forms and shapes and so many knowledge, so many departments of this, department of that knowledge, this knowledge, that. This has all come from the mind, Krishna says. It has nothing to do. Actually the knowledge is one, with which we understand everything. That chit consciousness, or the pure consciousness of the living entity, which understands, which by its own effort, by its own very creation, Sachidanandam, that chit potency allows the living entity to be conscious of everything. But due to the presence of the mind in the body, that mind gives these varieties of experiences. And with the result, what do? We think that all these different experiences are genuine, are real, and we start analyzing them in different titles, under different heads. So, vijnanam egam urudheva vibhadhi mayam. This egam vijnanam egam, there is only one knowledge, that Krishna says, urudha iva, you feel as though many kinds of knowledge exist. And trividha vibhadi maya sotnastritha guna visarga krito vigalpaham. And in generally, he says, it manifests in three forms. Vibhadi tridha, in three forms, it shines in front of us. It shines in front of us in three forms, this knowledge. This knowledge shines in front of us in three forms. That guna visarga kritam, it has been created by the three modes of material nature. Three modes of material nature. Just like, and it is nothing but kalpana. Vigalpam, guna visarga krito vigalpaham. Because of the presence of maya or avidya or ignorance, it manifests in front of us in three different forms. And from those three, again it multiplies. 3 by 3 into 9, 9 by 9 to 81, 81 by 81. It goes on like that, depending on the degree of goodness and passion and ignorance in each of this creation. So this thing is called mind. It's a very complex substance to understand. Because we are so much conditioned by the mind, everything we can only see in relationship with the mind. Nothing we can experience in relationship with the relationship with the soul, because we are not used to it. Whereas on the other hand, we are so used to in dealing with the world in relationship with the mind. As soon as someone says something, the mind responds according to that, because of the modes of nature present there. So this is why Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam gives us a very strong understanding or a deeper insight into the activities of the mind. For this, we have to be grateful to whom? To the Pandavas. Pandavas are the families of Pandavas created and gave us this understanding, got us this understanding from Krishna. The grandfather gave us Bhagavad Gita and the grandson gave us Srimad Bhagavatam. Isn't it? Grandfather Arjuna, he got us Bhagavad Gita from Krishna. And the grandson, Parikshit Maharaj, got Bhagavatam for us from Krishna. So Krishna's words on all these things are the highest understanding, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is saying here something. And we, under the clutches of illusion of Maya, or the three modes of material nature, we are trying to capture that knowledge, what Krishna gave to Arjuna and Parikshit. What Krishna gave to Arjuna and Parikshit. Both of them, Arjuna and Parikshit, we are greatly indebted, because it is because of them that we have today Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Otherwise, we would not have had these things. And only through Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, you can understand what Krishna is saying here. Krishna is saying here. If you look into Bhagavad Gita also in the beginning, you will see some interesting exchanges between Arjuna and Krishna. Between Arjuna and Krishna. When Bhagavad Gita, if you look into the first chapter, which is called Arjuna Vishada Yogam. Arjuna Vishada Yogam, the title itself is Vishadam. What does Vishadam mean? Vishadam means, Vishadam is that state of mind which is coming from ignorance. So, in the whole of first chapter, Krishna didn't speak one word to Arjuna. He didn't speak one word to Arjuna. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see there. Because Arjuna was a good person. He had a good heart. A perfect first-class Kshatriya with all the noble qualities in him. But he is also under the modes of nature. And when somebody is talking to Krishna, who is under the modes of nature, he will talk a lot of nonsense also. Because he is under the modes of nature. So there you will see Arjuna preaching to Krishna. He is preaching to Krishna there. He is saying to Krishna that all kinds of calamities that's going to happen if we fight the war and if we kill all his relatives and friends, what will happen to the society? So as though Krishna doesn't know any of these things. This is the way, up to this point, Arjuna is considering Krishna as his friend. That's how he is talking about it. Up to this point, Arjuna is considering Krishna as his friend. So just like you will talk to your friend, Arjuna is talking to Krishna at that time. When this whole chapter was over, first chapter was over, that's why some of the great acharyas have not commented on the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Only for one reason, it is the talk of most of us, what we talk. Does it require any commentary on that? It doesn't require any commentary, what we are talking about, isn't it? So Acharya Swamiji and all not even touch the first chapter. Because it's coming from a person. Arjuna is our representative actually there. And so because Arjuna spoke such things, when you read first chapter, you'll get the impression that everything looks very sensible, what Arjuna is saying here. He is telling us, yes, yes, if you fight a war and kill all my relatives and friends, what's the point in fighting? Those words, one by one, you have to take it and look at it. Only then you will see Arjuna's sentiments coming through. Spiritual life is not sentiments. Spiritual life is a science. It is Krishna's science. He has given to this world through Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So when you understand the science better, you will see sentiments walk away from there. Sentiments have no value. we make all the decisions based on our sentiments, and therefore we are in trouble all the time. But if Krishna's knowledge and Krishna's words in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, if we have understood properly, then there is no confusion about it. Krishna is very straightforward about that. So Krishna tolerated the first chapter. Strictly speaking, that's what you have to say. Krishna tolerated the first chapter. And in the second chapter, also Krishna tolerated for some time. After that, Krishna gave him 2 slap on Arjuna's cheek. That is 2 verses you can see there. It is a straight slap on his cheek. What did he say? Shri Bhagavan Uvacham Kutastva Kashmalamidam Vishame Samubastidam Anarajushtam Aswargyam Akirtim Karam Arjunam Klaibhyam Masmagama Partha Naivatva Yubabhadyade Shudram Hridaya Daurbhalyam Tekto Tishta Parandava. These 2 verses. There is not much of a detailed explanations necessary for commentary necessary, but if you look at those 2 verses, you will see Krishna is bluntly telling Arjuna, you are an idiot, nothing more than an idiot, because you talk big things as though you know everything, but strictly speaking your knowledge is full of ignorance. It is purely ignorance that's speaking now through you. So Arjuna, Krishna had to deal with Arjuna like that. The situation was like that. And when he heard these 2 verses from Krishna, that is where he said that Kutastva Kashmalamidam Kutastva Kashmalamidam, that all this is you are talking about is nonsense, he says. Vishame Samubastidam, that you are in Vishamam. Vishamam means, now let's understand what this word Vishamam means. In the Bhagavad Gita, this word you will find, Vishamam. The mind, by nature, has got 2 states. What is called Vishamavastha and Samavastha. These are the 2 states in the Shastram referring to the mind. Vishamavastha and Samavastha. Vishamavastha means, Vishamavastha again has 2 different roles, how it manifests there in the mind. The one that is what is known as the Vikshepam of the mind, and the other one is called Layam. Layam. I will explain this, what they are, so you will get a better understanding of the nature of the mind. In the Vishamavastha, Vishamavastha, we have 2 positions. One is called Vikshepam and the other one is called Layam. And the Samavastha is a different state. We'll come to that later. So in Vishamavastha, what normally happens is, there is what is known as Vikshepam. Vikshepam means, the mind has a nature by itself. What is mind actually? Everybody asks this question. to my mind, they say. Or they say, my mind tells me, or I made the decision made on my mental faculty, or whatever the mind tells us to do. So the mind is always in this state called Vikshepa. Vikshepa means continuous flow of thoughts. Continuous flow of thoughts. That is what is called the mind. Mind is nothing but continuous flow of thoughts. So this continuous flow of thoughts is what is called in the mind. In other words, the Shastric word is Chittavritti. Chittavritti means the mind. This mind is difficult to control. We all know that very well, isn't it? When we sit not doing anything, still this activity is going on inside. In other words, we ourselves have no control on this thing called mind. It is constantly moving, continuously bringing new ideas, new thoughts, and bringing different aspects of it, and it leaves, another one comes straight away. And when that comes, takes a while for that to operate, and then it goes, another one comes. So, as long as in the vacant state, as well as in the dream state, this activity is constantly happening. This what is known as Vikshepam. And in Vikshepam, what one does is, he wants to capture things and bring it under the control of the mind. That is our true nature. For example, if I talk to you, say something which you can grasp, which is within your capturing power or grasping power, immediately you will take it. and you will straight away think about it. At least some few seconds, you will put some thoughts into it. Say, I tell you sweet rice. Immediately you will think about sweet rice. What will be the best kind of sweet rice could he have? Or a mango, a sweet mango. Or some orange. Or anything in this matter. Mind has a tendency always to capture matter. It understands matter better than anything else. So because of that, this vichayavam is such a thing that constantly it is holding on to objects and revolving around that. That is what the mental nature, the nature of the mind is. On the other hand, suppose if I talk to you about Brahman or the soul, then mind cannot absorb it. So what happens? Immediately goes switch on to the next mode, sleep. And that is what is called a layam. So vichayavam and layam, they are the two ways in which mind can stay. Mind cannot do anything else. Either it has to be in vichayavam or it has to be in layam. Layam means the state where it is. It cannot take it, so it goes into a restful state. It is resting at that moment. It cannot get it. So that is why Brahmam, soul, all these things, karmam, all these kind of things, the doubts are coming much later, not immediately. Why? Because it couldn't capture it. And after going away, you are thinking about it. And then a lot of questions are coming at that time, because it couldn't capture anything. So these vichayavam and layam, the two nature of the mind, is important. Because unless this vichayavam and layam, as long as they are there, that is the very nature of the Vishamavastha. That is why Krishna was saying here, Vishame Samuvasthidam. Krishna says to Arjuna, Vishame Samuvasthidam. You are situated in a Vishamavastha and you are talking to me and you want me to reply to all your questions. This was very indirectly saying to Arjuna like that. But Arjuna was an intelligent person, so straight away he captured the point. So therefore, he did not wait very long. He understood. That is why he said, Karpanya dosha bahrda svabhava prachamitvam dharma sammoda chedaham. Then, I am Kribana, I am a miser, I don't understand, he says. Prachamitvam dharma sammoda chedaham. I was analyzing in my own mind, in my own way, just like we all do, based on the etiquettes of this world and etiquettes of dharma, what our society has established. We think that as the dharmam. On that basis, we all work in this world. We live in this world. But Krishna's dharmam and Krishna's instructions are different. That we don't try to understand. We think everybody following Krishna's dharmam. So we are following them also. Thinking that we are also doing the right thing. But no, it is not like that. Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Prachamitvam dharma sammoda chedaham shishyasteham shadhimam tvam prapannam. It was that point Arjuna has surrendered to Krishna. Up to that time, he was talking like a friend. A friend was talking to a friend. But when he understood his own foolishness, immediately he surrendered. He says, there is no more further doubts in me. Please tell me what I should do. At least he was very straightforward about that. Arjuna was straightforward about that. So, why I'm saying all these things is, although you may be thinking why I'm going to Bhagavad Gita now while discussing Bhagavadam, the reason is, there is only one topic we have to discuss, that is the soul. But to get there, if you discuss every time soul, 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 if you keep repeating, you will think, what soul is this? It will start thinking like that. But therefore, we have to come through so many different ways we have to get there, to this point of soul, or this point, science of self-realization. So mind is a faculty where we have a difficulty. So this vichayavam and layam is that what we are used to. What we are used to. The other state, which is called samavastha, vichayavam, layam is a part of vishamavastha. Samavastha means we are able to stop this flow of thoughts, once for all, permanently stop it. That means that is our pure state of consciousness. Pure consciousness means this mind doesn't exist. These thoughts need not come like this constantly. But in pure consciousness, we have only one thing to think about, that is Krishna, nothing else. There is nothing else to think about. So if you are in that pure state of consciousness, which is called samavastha, there is total peace inside. There is total peace inside. Otherwise, there is no peace. Now, a question will come, what is the difference between a sane person and a mad person? Isn't it? Mind is the one which is playing the havoc there also. A mad person is running around and saying everything openly, whatever that is coming in his head. the so-called sane person, actually we are also mad. Don't think that we are not mad. But only thing is we have got the control to keep it inside. That's the only difference between us and the mad person. Neither us nor the mad person is anyway much better. We somehow or the other hold on to things, not spitting it out, keeping it us within us. The mad person is spitting it out all the time. That's the only difference. Otherwise, the thoughts that's going through our mind and the thoughts that's going through the mad person's mind is equally the same, is very much the same. The psychologists, they may not agree with this. This is Krishna's words, so we have to go by Krishna's words. Krishna is saying there that this mind is nothing but a mad person. Only thing, you are not speaking, you are holding, so therefore you feel that you are normal. But actually we are not normal, because this continuous flow of thoughts which is coming inside is not a normal state of existence. And this mind will develop into different problems later. The moment we are unable to control the mind, it comes out in some form. And then we call them, oh, he's a mad person, we say. But we are all mad equally and carrying on the same madness inside. Why? Because it is this vichayam and layam that is the nature of the mind at the moment. Somebody asked once a question, how do you avoid dreaming in the night? How do you avoid dreaming in the night? So the answer to that was, if you avoid dreaming in the day, it will stop dreaming in the night also. That is the answer to that. There is no other answer. Because the dreaming is going on in a much larger scale during the day. We don't accept that. We're thinking, I am awake now. So, the lights are on, everyone is talking to each other, so we must be awake, definitely. But even now, if you can think about it, when you are listening to Srimad Bhagavatam, quarter of your mind is here. Quarter is at home. Quarter is at the workplace, and quarter is somewhere else in the politics or American election or whatever that is going on currently, important fact matter. So this is the nature of the mind, and this mind, whatever it can capture, it will hold on to that. And that is why Srimad Bhagavatam, when you are reading from Bhagavatam, when you are discussing Bhagavatam also, lot of things are not registering there. Why? Because the mind is busy with so many other things in this world. That is why Krishna is saying here that Icheda Vibramamidam Manaso Vilasam. Manasinda Vilasam, the Vilasam of the mind, that is. It is the Vilasam of the mind. We won't even notice it. We don't even recognize it. Manaso Vilasam. Icheda Vibramamidam Manaso Vilasam. You should see it's a Vibramam. Vibramam means a kind of restlessness which is coming from the that false realizations, false understanding of the reality. Reality is that none of these things have any permanent existence. But when we are analyzing, we are not seeing like that through our mind. Drishtam vinashtam adilolam alata chakram. Drishtam vinashtam. It is seen and it is falsely understood and it is going to be destroyed one day. And it's adiloyam, it is always moving also. Because that is why it is said to give too much importance to matter. Matter is subject to change all the time. Subject to change. Shatparinama Vedam, they call it in the Shastram. So if you take into account all these changes, what is happening, a sane person will not take it very seriously. Alata chakram, and it is like a firewood that if you keep rotating or moving very fast, accordingly the fire also give you the impression that the shape of the fire is like that. If you, according to your movement, one who cannot see the wood behind it, the burning. So, vijnanamegamurudheva vibhadi maya sopnastritha guna visarga krido vigalpaham. Similarly, Krishna says here, that Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti also, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, the three states also, they are also manifesting in the same way due to presence of Maya. Due to presence of Maya. It is because of the presence of Maya that one is experiencing these three states. Which one? Swapnam, Jagrat and Sushupti. Soul has nothing to do with it. It is the presence of Maya. So, exactly like that, Swapna Tridha Guna Visargam, Visarga Krido Vigalpa, that this Vigalpam means these experiences or these situations that's arising from the activities of the mind, Krishna says, one should take note of. One should take note of. So, in order to move from this conditioned state to liberated state, this knowledge is necessary. This knowledge is necessary. In conditioned state, we don't take notice of these things. But in the liberated state, Krishna is explaining that one who has advanced spiritually and one who has come out of this conditioning of the material nature or Maya, he will not see these differences in the creation, just like we experience here. And that is nothing but activities of the mind. Vibhadi Maya. The same soul is manifesting. Substance is only one, but it dresses up in three forms. In Jagrat, it dresses up in one way. In Swapnam, it dresses up in another form. And in Sushupti, it dresses up in another form. But the soul is same. It has nothing to do with any of them. But due to presence of Maya, Swapna Tridha Guna Visargam, these three gunams or three modes of nature is making this to happen to us. Is making this to happen to us. It's only because of the presence of Maya that guna visarga krudo vigalpa. This vigalpam we experience, and these three states of existence also we experience. And in these three states, we are subjected to what? Subjected to a few things. In the Jagrat state, mind is also very much in control of situation. Same thing with the Swapnam, in the dream state also. In the dream state also, we are experiencing the same. So, but you can see, when you go to Sushupti, when there is no mind acting anymore, when the mind has come to rest, when there is no influence of the mind, you can see that none of these things has any impact on you. None of these things has any impact on you. Otherwise, you are affected by the material nature very much. Material nature. Material nature is very strong at that time. Whereas in the third state, material nature is not effective. In the like as it is thus through the Maya, the agency Maya. Therefore, it is said that that it is like a dream that when we execute our activities in this material life also, we are subjected to various things, and that is why often all our realizations in Jagrat state, you cannot understand or realize the truth perfectly. Only when you come out of these three states, you can see the truth and you can understand the truth. Krishna says here that that how the same knowledge has manifested. When we say that the soul is always referred to as consciousness. So the consciousness is experiencing Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, three states. The same consciousness is experiencing senses, mind, intelligence. All these things, and false ego. They're all the consciousness experiences of the consciousness. Therefore, if you give too much importance to the experience, it is going to cause a lot of difficulty. Going to cause a lot of difficulty. Always one has to see who is behind this experiencing. And if we don't think about that and simply analyze what is happening to the temporary things, what has come from the consciousness, and start making judgments on that basis, Krishna says that will not get you very far in spiritual life. Spiritual realization means withdrawing from the gross things and going to the subtle side of it. Soul is the most subtle thing of all. The gross form is the body. Gross form is the body. Subtle than the body is the mind. Subtle than the mind is intelligence. Subtle than the intelligence is this false ego. And subtle than the false ego is the soul. So, whereas we have developed all our understanding or analysis based on all the gross things rather than the subtle thing. Krishna wants us to understand that behind all these gross manifestations of mind, intelligence, false ego and the gross body, there is the subtle element, what is called the soul. And the soul can be only understood through consciousness. Consciousness is the one that is presenting to us the presence of the soul. So, as we go back to Bhagavadam, where we said before, that when Pipalayana Maharshi spoke to King Nimi, he also mentioned there that Yanakriyartha Bhalarubadayoru Shakti Brahmaiva Bhadi. You will see that in the verse 37, chapter 3. Jnanak Sutsatvam Rajastamaidi Trivrudegamadav
సూత్రం మహానహమిది ప్రవదంది జీవం జ్ఞానక్రియార్థ బలరూపదయోరు శక్తి బ్రహ్మైవ భాది సదసచ్చదయో పరం యద్. జ్ఞానం క్రియా అర్థం ఫలం రూపదయోరు శక్తి ఉరు శక్తి ఇట్ ఆల్ హూ ఇస్ దిస్ ఆల్ దిస్ వాట్ ఈస్ నాలెడ్జ్ కాన్షియస్నెస్ మీన్స్ నాలెడ్జ్ కాన్షియస్నెస్ మీన్స్ నాలెడ్జ్ అండ్ దెన్ యాక్షన్ ఫ్రమ్ ద నాలెడ్జ్ యాక్షన్ కమ్స్ అండ్ ఫ్రమ్ ది యాక్షన్ ద రిజల్ట్స్ విల్ కమ్ అకార్డింగ్ టు ది యాక్షన్స్ So, this one after the other, this, they are not separate. One has come from the other. Similarly, the knowledge has come from consciousness. The knowledge has come from consciousness. So, strictly speaking, there is only one thing, consciousness, which is soul, that transforms into all these different entities. Jnanam, Kriya, Artham, Phalam, all this follows one to another, one from the other. This is what point we have to note. This is an important thing because the science of the soul is so subtle that if we don't accept all these things in our understanding of the soul, we will be tempted to ask questions. Once you know there is only one thing called the soul, what question is there to ask? The question is coming because we keep on differentiating. This has come from that. So when this does this, what does the other do? When the other does that, what does this do? So, why do we connect these two? And all these questions comes from there. Jnana kriyartha bhalarubadayoru shakti. That shakti behind it is one. From that, this starts manifesting one after the other. And none of them are permanent. They all come and go, all the time. So, you are spending your energy in analyzing these, which has come out from the soul, rather than understanding the soul, the where it has come from. We keep analyzing that what will happen to the mind when we leave the body? What will happen to the intelligence when we leave the body? So how can I make that decision as though I am making all the time all the decisions? This way we get bewildered by these statements of the materialistic nature, by the matter. That is why Krishna does not want us to stay in that situation. Krishna wants us to come to spiritual platform. Leave these things behind. Krishna says, if you keep on harping on this mind intelligence and all, and through that trying to understand the soul, that business we have to stop. Otherwise it will not work. That's why Krishna said to Arjuna, for this reason only, Vishame samubastidam anarijushtam asorgyam akirtim karam Arjuna. He's firing Arjuna. What you're talking is not Aryans. Aryans don't talk like this, he says. Aryan means one who has higher knowledge. He is Arya. Aryas don't speak this nonsense, he says. This is one who is totally in the bodily concept of life. He talks like this. Aswargam, that you cannot go higher from this condition. Swargam means one who can go to the higher levels. You cannot move to the higher level if you are in this consciousness. Agirtim, also your reputation is going to be very poor if you talk like this. And that first verse, Krishna gave one slap with that. And the second one, క్లైబ్యం ఆస్మగమ పార్థ నైవత్వయుపవద్యదే క్షుద్రం హృదయ దౌర్బల్యం త్యక్తో తిష్ట పరందవ. కృష్ణ సేస్ టు అర్జున, క్లైబ్యం ఈస్ అ వెరీ స్ట్రాంగ్ వర్డ్ టు అర్జున టు యూస్. ఇట్ ఈస్ ఓన్లీ కృష్ణ కెన్ యూస్ దాట్, నోబడి ఎల్స్ కెన్ సే దాట్ టు అర్జున, బికాస్ అర్జున ఈస్ నెవర్ క్లైబ. క్లైబ మీన్స్ ఇస్ నైదర్ మ్యాన్ నార్ ఉమెన్, దాట్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ స్టేట్. ఓన్లీ సచ్ ఎ పర్సన్ కెన్ టాక్ లైక్ దిస్. సో ఇమాజిన్ how Krishna has taken what Arjuna has spoken. How much affected Krishna was by Arjuna's words. Klaibhyam asmagama partha, you are a Kleban, he says. Kleba means one who is neither male nor female. That's what you are, he says. Naivatvai upavadyade, that this is not going to help you very much. Chudram, hridaya daurbhalyam, this is chudram, is silly, and hridaya daurbhalyam, it is a weakness of the heart. Get up from there and start talking. Now listen to me, he says. And that is when Bhagavad Gita begins, isn't it? Arjuna Krishna begins Bhagavad Gita at that point. And so you can see that the one who is absorbed in the body, one who is absorbed in the mind, one who is absorbed in intelligence, and one who is absorbed in the false ego, all of them are in Krishna's eyes. They are not ready for spiritual life yet. They are not ready for spiritual life. Spiritual life means to come out of all these things. These things are only pulling us down from our spiritual platform. So this is one important point Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. So you will see in the Samavastha, when you are in the realized state, all these things all these things will not happen. All these things will not happen. These things will come to a stop. Patanjali Maharshi also, when he discusses the Yoga Sutram in his book Yoga Sutram, he says, what is yogam? Yogam means nothing. Chitta vritti nirodham. This continuous flow of thoughts, if we can stop it, that is yoga. That is the state of yogam. So we are not in that state of consciousness. Therefore we have all these questions all the time coming up. And questions, if you get one answer to one question, it's not going to finish. It's not going to finish. You'll move on to the next question, and the next, and the next. So it is therefore, Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna is talking in a different language altogether. Krishna is saying to us that jnanam, jnanakriyartha bhayarupadayoru shakti, reminding us, Pipalayamashi is saying here, brahmaiva bhadi. Brahmam is manifesting in these three, in all these different forms. What? Jnanam, kriya, artham, bhalam. In all these different manifestations, Brahmam is manifesting. So if you understand that Brahmam's position, what Brahmam is, then this problem will go. So therefore, what it is said here is that vijnanamegam urudhaya, that vijnanamegam, the knowledge is only one. There's only one knowledge. We see it as different due to the presence of the mind in us. This is what Krishna is telling that in the 13th chapter. Vijnanamegam urudhevadaya vibhadi. There is only one knowledge that is coming in these different forms to us as different knowledge. There is no different knowledge, there is only one knowledge. Exactly like Pipalaya Maharshi said here, brahmaiva bhadi. Bhadi means it is shining forth. It shines. It shines. As what? Jnanam, kriya, artham, bhalam, rupam, uyoru, shakti. All these things are coming from Brahmam. Brahmaiva bhadi. And Krishna says here, in the 13th chapter, he says here, vijnanamegam urudheva vibhadi. Vibhadi means also the same thing. That vijnanam, that same knowledge of, knowledge is Brahmam. Brahmam is knowledge. Prajnanam Brahma, it says. Knowledge is Brahman. So the Brahmam, that knowledge is manifesting in all these varieties in this creation. Because of the presence of Maya, we feel them as all different. We feel them as all different. Vijnanamegam urudheva vibhadi maya svapna stritha triguna visarga krito vigalpaham. Guna visargam, that because of the different modes of nature, all this vikalpam. Vikalpam means this feeling in us that everything is different. Our mind is playing this game with us. Mind is playing game with us. You see, two things. Mind and intelligence, it is very, very difficult. We have seen before that the controlling this mind and intelligence is a difficult thing for us, because throughout life we have been using this to understand different things, isn't it? As I mentioned before, the sages don't want us to get into this trap of mind and intelligence. They want us to keep us out of it. That is why they wrote in this fashion, in this way. If they tell us something, everything openly like that, what we will do, we will say, oh, you have told us like this before, now you are saying like this different. Why? This will be our question. We will try to find fault with the sages also, whoever has spoken. We will say, maybe Pipalaya doesn't know enough, because he has not convinced me, so I can't accept that. This will be my, why? Because the false ego is also helping from inside. The false ego and the mind together will work at that time. The mind will say, Pipalaya Maharshi doesn't know enough. He says everything is one. And all these things are coming from there. Where is it coming from? False ego saying, I don't experience like that. So there I exist, and the false ego exists, and as the mind exists. So this habit is with us throughout life. 30, 40, 50, 60 years we have cultivated this habit in us. And we apply the same thing to Krishna also. And we want to understand Krishna in this way. So therefore, sages don't want us to understand. Don't want our brain to, mind, intelligence to get into this trap. Intelligence is all fixed knowledge. It's all fixed knowledge. You go to university, you take any textbook or anything literature, you study, and there is, intelligence is all related to science and mathematics. Mostly modern intelligence means that, isn't it? Other things, everything is on a mental faculty. So intelligence is all fixed knowledge. So sages don't want that, the intelligence to fall into that trap. Because if you fall into that, intelligence cannot understand the soul. Simple as that. So that is one thing. Secondly, so therefore they have written everything in the Vedic literature. You find the way of presentation is so different in different places that it makes you to realize, just like I mentioned before, that in Ramayanam you will see 50,000 years King Dasharatha was ruling, and he is saying to Ramachandra to go to forest for 14 years. 14 years compared to 50,000 years is not a very long period of time, is it? 14 years is just like a small part of the 50,000 years when he was ruling there. So how do they all relate with all these things? Sages are playing with us, with the time factor. They will play with you. They will play with the space also. Time and space are the two things which mind and intelligence wants to control all the time. As soon as I say something, in which year did it happen? The first question. When was Bhagavatam written? 5,000 years ago. So did that happen after Mahabharata war? Or did it happen before Mahabharata war? Okay. It was after the Mahabharata war. So how many years after Mahabharata war it was written? Okay. That sounds like okay to me. 5,000 years back we are talking about the history. Yeah, it sounds okay to me today. I am here for 50 years. And I am discussing this. My own foolishness I am openly telling you. What foolish I am to discuss in this way. Then I am asking. So when was the first time Parikshit Maharaj heard Bhagavatam? How many years after Krishna left this world? Oh, he heard Bhagavatam after about 30 years. So how old was Parikshit at that time? These are the questions we bring forth. Isn't it all the time? How many times these questions come? And then when was Sudha Goswami spoke to Naimisharanyam Bhagavatam to Shravanagrashi? So that happened after so many 200 years later. Oh, I see. So what happened between these 200 years? So this thing called time is a big influence on our head all the time. Although we are here only 50, 60, 70 years, whatever it is, we want to calculate in terms of eternity, isn't it? In terms of eternity, we want to calculate. This is the symptom of a third-class listener, Bhagavatam says. A third-class listener will ask all these kind of questions. A first-class listener will take the message first. What does the sages want to tell us? The message is important. Like Parikshit Maharaj sat there and listened to Bhagavatam in 7 days' time, because he was told in 7 days' time he has to leave the body. We also have to leave the body in 7 days' time, isn't it? From Sunday to Saturday, if you take it, it's 7 days again. So, why are we so concerned about that side of it? He said that only if, because you're always frightened that sages are out to cheat us, isn't it? That they are there to sitting there, all these old men with their long beard, sitting in the Himalayas and writing all these books and misleading us instead of allowing me to continue my sense gratification here. So he is putting all restrictions on us, including Vedavyas, and we want to test him all the time. So this is the difficulty. So time and space, two factors, have no entry into this. So sages deliberately do this to us. Deliberately they do this to us. They don't want us to fall into this trap of intelligence, because you will apply your intelligence and start becoming smart about that. So that's one thing about the intelligence. Now about the mind also, Krishna has spoken in many instances in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam the same problem, what can happen to the mind. In this verse he is saying here that vijnanamega murudheva vibhadi maya svapnasthitha triguna visarga krito vikalpaha. That trigunam, the three modes of nature, we don't understand what they are. We are thinking that we understand it, but when these three modes of nature are acting on the mind, all these manifestations have come to us. Therefore, all the great personalities, they do not accept anything that comes from the mind. Either it has to come from Shastram, or it has to come from liberated souls, their realizations. That is the only knowledge. Everything else is false. Everything else is false, coming out of the mind. How can anyone trust the mind? This is the question Krishna is bringing forward. Then, because the mind is giving this experience of this creation in varieties, in different forms, Krishna says you have to take this creation as also another false thing. Mind is creating this falsity in the creation, therefore you have to take the creation also as well as a false thing. That's what he is saying here, Krishna is saying here. So, coming into Bhagavatam, we will see there that we have discussed this before also, that the the same knowledge manifests in three forms. In the three forms, what are they? Knowledge, experience, and experience and the consciousness. And the consciousness. It is the same thing. One and the same thing comes in these three forms to us. That's all. We think that they're all different. They're not different. They're coming from the same source. Go back to the source. It says all the time. Go back to the source. You don't go to the source. If you start halfway, if you stop and start analyzing, you won't get there. Always to remember this, go back to the source. Source is vijnanamekam urudhe vibhadi maya. Maya is the one which has created these varieties in us. So, jagrat svapnam sushupti we are experiencing because of maya. Because of maya only we are experiencing. Similarly, this knowledge, experience and consciousness we are experiencing again because of the presence of soul behind it. It is from him, it has come out. So, what happens then? First thing, in the living entity, when the mind is created, mind develops inside. It's a very, very unusual situation for us then. Up to that time, we are part and parcel of Krishna, no doubt. We are part and parcel of Krishna. But we are in the marginal energy. Once you move back to Chit Shakti, which is the internal energy of Krishna, Chit Shakti is called the internal energy of Krishna. That internal energy is personal manifestation in Srimati Radharani. So from there, if you live, we are in the marginal potency of Krishna. In this marginal potency, we develop this, what is known as two factors, Ahangaram and Ahambhodam. We are still the spirit soul, but at the same time, we are experiencing the false ego. Isn't it? We are experiencing the false ego. False ego means what exists along with that, the mind exists. When the false ego existing, the mind also has to exist. And with the result of that is, in this marginal energy, according to our realizations, we can go into either direction, either to the external energy or to the internal energy. When someone is continuously busy with the mind and intelligence, you have to take it that he has gone to the external energy. He is under the control of external energy. External energy is that one where one completely gives up any kind of spiritual thoughts and completely comes to the matter and takes shelter of the matter. Or in other words, materialist. The one who is in the marginal energy, the living entity, Jiva, he has an option to go either way, either to the internal energy where he cultivates Krishna consciousness and comes released himself from the influences of the mind, intelligence, false ego, and be situated within the self as the spiritual, in the spiritual potency or Krishna servant. So that option he has got. So that is what spiritual realization is all about. Spiritual realization is all about that. So here, Krishna is saying here that when the mind is born, immediately the mind develops various kinds of thoughts, and that is when the Jiva's activity begins. And so the same spirit soul is now wandering around in this world, in this planet, in the form of a Jiva, in the conditioned state. It moves around. That, so as I seen before, that this two consciousness, two factors inside, the one of the false I which has come from ahangaram or false ego, and the real I, which is the blissful nature of me, which is the spiritual nature of me, these two things exist simultaneously in us. The more we take to the shelter of the false I or ahangaram or false ego, we experience all the varieties of this world. That when this false I goes away, or when this false ego gets completely destroyed, at that time I am situated in the real I,
what I am, in the real I. That is the realized state, realized state. So you can see that in the deep sleep state, where you have no false ego, you have no mind, nor intelligence, because although you are covered by ignorance, none of the modes of nature can disturb you at that time. Whatever goes on in this creation at that time does not disturb you. Does not disturb you at that point. So we have talked about the story, what was spoken by Prahlada. Prahlada says to his godbrothers, he says to them, all his friends, that Almatwal Sarvabhudanam Siddha Siddhatwal Iha Sarvadam. It is not something what you have to look forward to find out. It's already there. Siddhatwal Iha Sarvada. It is already, you have got it within yourself. Most of the people think that spiritual realization is somewhere else, we have to go and find it out in some other place. That's where we will get realized. That's why we are running around all over, isn't it? But strictly speaking, Prahlada is saying here, there is nothing so closer to you than the soul. He is the closest thing to you. Atmatvat Sarvabhudanam. He is present there as the soul within everyone. Siddhatval Iha Sarvada. Because it is available to everybody. It's not that it's only available to one of us. No, everyone has got it. Siddhatval Iha Sarvada. Everybody has got it. So it is the easiest thing. Only thing is to realize it. That is what Prahlada has said. So we spoke about this, and we mentioned also that the story of the devotee and Krishna. That Krishna said to the devotee, I'll always be with you. Devotee says that, I couldn't find you when I was in trouble. Krishna says to him, did you look back and see? He says, I looked back and I saw Krishna was there. Krishna's feet was only there. My feet was not there. So, in other words, what the story is saying to us is that, actually, when we are experiencing that distress or happiness, if you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see this verse. And if you analyze that verse within your own thoughts, you will see there, Krishna is saying there, Prakrute kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahangaram vimudhalma kartaham iti manyade. Krishna says there, Prakrute kriyamanani, material nature is doing everything in this creation. Gunai karmani sarvasha, through the medium, how does the material nature do? Through these three modes of nature. Sarvasha, everything. And ahangara vimudhalma, one who has got false ego in him, what he will do? Kartaham idhi manyade. I am doing everything, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. This will be the result of this false ego. False ego will definitely put this stamp on us. Ahangara vimudhalma kartaham idhi manyade. Ahangara means inside, false ego exists, kartaham, I am the doer. And idhi manyade. Kartaham means, obviously, if I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Also, if I am doing, I should have the result, isn't it? We are all very particular about that. So, if it is like that, Krishna is saying there in the Bhagavad Gita, everything is done by me. Why? Ishvara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi brahmayan sarvabhudanam yantrarudhani mayaya. Later on Krishna says this. So if you accept that Krishna is doing everything, then who should have the result? Krishna also must have the result, isn't it? If I am the doer and I am the enjoyer, that means aham karta, aham bhokta. If Krishna is karta, Krishna should be the bhokta also. Is it not? If Krishna is the karta, then Krishna should be the bhokta also. Therefore, important thing to understand here is that when Krishna is the doer, when we know Krishna is doing it through me, I am just an instrument in Krishna's hands, and Krishna is doing it through me, Krishna must have the result also. Why should I struggle or cry when the results are bad? This is logic also. If I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. The results I have to accept. But Vedavyasa Maharshi said in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also said in the Bhagavad Gita, in the third chapter he said that Prakrute kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahangara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyade. That the foolish person thinks that I am the doer and he struggles because of that. In the later on in the 15th or 16th chapter, I can't remember, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, everyone is under the control of this modes of nature, and I am the controller sitting in everyone's heart, I control. So if I am doing it, aham karta, aham bhokta. If Krishna is karta, Krishna is the bhokta also. So strictly speaking, although we experience happiness and distress in this world, who is experiencing this actually? Krishna is experiencing. Krishna is actually experiencing this. But why do we feel we are experiencing it? The reason for that is, we do not think about who is experiencing. We only think, analyze the result what has come from that. We don't think who is experiencing. The moment you put the question, who is experiencing this? The happiness and distress. Because in our own mind, we have not come to this realization that I am not the doer. We are still thinking I am the doer. Even while doing something for Krishna also, we are still thinking I am the doer. That has not gone from me. It is still very much there. Therefore, so long as this aham karta, aham bhokta will be there. So, if I am not aham karta, I am not a bhokta either. I am not the enjoyer of the things either. So, once you give up this aham karta, automatically aham bhokta will go. Automatically, aham bhokta will go. Once we accept this, acceptance is the difficulty, that I am not the karta. That's where all the problem is. I am karta is so strongly ingrained in us. Krishna is saying here, if you have given up that aham karta, when the results come, you won't be disturbed. You won't be disturbed because perfect knowledge is there in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, saying there, Krishna is the bhokta as well. Krishna is the bhokta as well. This is not an easy thing that will happen because of the our long-term conditioning in us. Aham karta and aham bhokta is very long-term conditioning. And so long as the false ego is there, this will be there. So long as the false ego is there, this will also be there. Aham karta will be there. That is what false ego means. It is not a real thing. It is a false ego. That's why it's called false ego. It's a false thing. And that's why that falsity will come through everything. In your actions, in the results, everything it will come through. So, once one understands that as much as it is a false ego, the ego is false, the happiness and distress that is coming from that is also false. Is also false. But due to the strong conditioning, we are thinking that these are the happiness and distress is real. False ego, you can call it as, I have no ego, I am such a humble person, so I have no ego. But this happiness and distress is coming to me, and I am suffering from that. This is how it is. So, where has Krishna has put any crisis here, any confusion here? There is no confusion. Confusion is in us, in our mind. Why? Because we have not accepted this statement in Bhagavad Gita. When Krishna says, aham karta, prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha, ahangara vimudhalma kartaham iti manyade, that kartaham is not going away from us. And I am still thinking, what right do I have to do? If I do this, will that be the right thing to do? I do that. Why we have to think like that? That is what Bhagavad Gita is asking that question to us. Bhagavad Gita is asking that question to us. This is some of the very fundamentals of spiritual life for anyone, personalist or impersonalist. This realization is very important. That is why in the Bhagavad Gita this is spoken very emphatically. It says there that Krishna is the controller. Krishna is doing everything. I am just an instrument in Krishna's hands. And if that realization hasn't come, aham karta, aham bhokta, then Krishna is karta, Krishna is bhokta also won't come. Otherwise we have to accept the results also. Sukham and Dukham will come. And this Sukham and Dukham, what is it? Who is experiencing? Krishna is experiencing. And if Krishna is experiencing that Sukham and Dukham, I am feeling that very much. I am also feeling, at the moment, in the conditioned state I am feeling, because I have accepted. I am not thinking about the complete thing behind. I am only thinking about this temporary experience of that complete thing. The complete thing which is inside the soul, which is Krishna's part and parcel,
is experiencing these things in whichever way it is experiencing. Somehow it is presenting it to us in front of us, happiness and distress. We are analyzing only the happiness and distress and feeling and going by that. We are saying, why Krishna has put me into this? Or who is me? Who is this me we are talking about? Why Krishna has given me all this distress? Why Krishna has given me all this distress? These are our questions, isn't it? And when happiness comes, you don't have to say anything about it. You are on the top of the world then, isn't it? I have done such things. See how things have come out, how it has all worked out very well. My such a good planning I had. And I was so capable that I managed it very well. I organized it so nicely. Look at this, how things have turned out. And now I move on from here to the next stage, next phase in my life. Like this, all this is going on one side. But Bhagavad Gita is saying that we are just puppets in the hands of Maya Devi. Maya's puppets we are. So therefore, this important realization has to come to understand Ekadasha Skandam first. In order to understand Ekadasha Skandam, this realization, this statement at least, we have to accept first. Otherwise, question after question after question. And it will not end till after the 31 chapters in Ekadasham also there will be questions. And still you will ask questions after that. Krishna left all these things in this world so that we don't ask questions anymore. He wanted us to finish it here. That's why he spoke Ekadasha Skandam and Bhagavad Gita. But we, after Bhagavad Gita and Ekadasham, our questioning starts after that. We start questions after that. This questioning has no meaning because that's why Krishna says here, first of all, it's only in the Jagrat you are going to ask the questions, number one. Therefore, he told us, used to exist in three states, Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti. We don't want to note about Swapnam and Sushupti because we don't know what's going on. We leave it there. In come to Jagrat state, we start questions. And Krishna is saying to us, all these things called mind, intelligence, false ego, these are all nothing but coming from pure consciousness, manifesting in different ways at different times. Is any one of these things permanent? Is intelligence permanent? No, never. When you are a child, you have one intelligence. When you are grown up, you have another intelligence. At the old age, you have a different intelligence. Is the mind the same? Mind changes second to second. Isn't it? Second to second, the mind is changing. Intelligence is changing. Is the false ego anywhere different? When you get a good kick from the material nature, your false ego goes like this. When everything goes wonderful, the head goes like that. So this is false. Everything is changing. Krishna is saying here, Ichayana vibhradam idam manaso vilasam. Krishna is saying, Brahmam idam manaso vilasam. It is nothing but the mind is playing with you. Alada chakram, adilolam alada chakram. He says it is shaking all the time and he gives this example as alada chakram, which if you rotate keeps moving exactly like that, it is moving. Krishna says. So from this is the preliminary things what Krishna has spoken here before we go into deeply about this into Ekadasha Skandam while Krishna talks to Uddhava later. So after speaking that, we have seen also before, we gave through this example of the projector, how it happens, that once the vasanas inside and the false ego has completely gone from inside, then what is left? What is left inside? The soul in its pure consciousness. And at that time, you are asking me, so does he not have a mind then? The mind is nothing but this vasanas. That is what this thing called the mind is. We call it by different terms in different times. Sometimes we call it as mind as vasanas. Sometimes we call it as manasa. Sometimes we call it as chittavritti. Sometimes we call it as ahangaram. All these things are nothing but these things, what has come from the soul and has covered the soul and we identified with them all the time. For convenience sake and depending on the situation in which it is spoken, we call by different names. When we relate with karma, we call it as vasanas. When we relate with karma, we call it as vasanas. When we relate with chittam or the consciousness, we call it as mind. But one and the same thing. It is one and the same thing. So keep on thinking this always, that the source is important. The source is important, which is the soul. That is where we are trying to get back to. Now, after getting back there, what happens after that, once you got back to that, that is a matter between the devotee and Krishna. That is purely a matter between devotee and Krishna. So better not to worry about it at today. What will happen after I realize what I have to do after that? We haven't realized yet. So the instruction from the acharyas is, different acharyas have presented it in different ways. Like for a devotee, we do not want to see one with Krishna. That's not our goal. It's not our goal. We want to be serving Krishna. Every devotee will think like that. We want to be at Krishna's lotus feet. We want to be serving Krishna. That is what a devotee wants. But he can only do that service in its pure form when he is in the realized state. That's what I was saying. Sadhana bhakti leads to self-realization. After self-realization, pure bhakti comes. Pure bhakti comes after self-realization. Prior to that, all our so-called bhakti is, but everybody has to go through this. There is no choice. Nobody will come straight away into parabhakti. Nobody is going to do that. Conditioned soul means this, that he has to start with sadhana bhakti. He has to execute his sadhana bhakti for a very, very, very long period of time. And after that, he will realize that he is helpless. He is totally helpless. Through sadhana bhakti, he will realize it, that I am totally helpless. But due to sadhana bhakti, chitta shuddhi has come. This mental flow of thoughts will cease. It will cease at that point. Because by now, due to the continuous chanting of the holy name and by Krishna's mercy alone, this mind will come under control. It will come under control. Once it comes under control, it's ready for receiving the knowledge of Krishna. It's ready for receiving the knowledge of Krishna. What is discussed in the Bhagavatam. Then he will understand the Bhagavatam in a different perspective altogether. And it was at that time he will understand the importance of pure bhakti. Importance of pure bhakti, and pure bhakti begins at that point. Up to that time, we all have to go through this sadhana bhakti. There is no choice. We all have come through that. We are all going through that at some point or the other. But anyway, coming back to this, if you have understood this simple thing, if I am aham karta, I am aham bhokta. Krishna is karta, Krishna is bhokta also. Is it not? Krishna is karta, Krishna is bhokta also. So therefore, whenever anything happens to the body, for example, when you are feeling hungry, you should think Krishna is feeling hungry inside. That is a way to think that Krishna in my body is experiencing hunger. When I am falling asleep, I have to think Krishna in my body is experiencing the sleep. Everything with the hunger. When I am experiencing happiness, Krishna is experiencing through my body happiness. When I am suffering or feeling distress in this life or in this world, I have to accept that Krishna is experiencing the distress through my body. That's a way to see this. So otherwise, this is how you can come out of this. Otherwise, constantly trying to, what we normally do is when we have happiness and distress, we want to first counteract the distress, isn't it? Counteract the distress. Or when happiness comes, we want to celebrate it in a big level because of my success, isn't it? And then we don't want to connect it with Krishna anyway. That's not in our nature. Our nature is when good results come, us. When bad results come, Krishna. This is how we have learned to connect it, isn't it? We connected it like that all this life. So this is where sadhana bhakti is necessary to come out of all this false understanding. If Krishna is karta, Krishna is bhokta. If I am karta, I am bhokta. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. If Krishna is the doer, Krishna is the enjoyer as well. If good things come, if whatever Krishna has done through my body or my words or mind or intelligence, whatever that has happened, if good things are happening, results should go to Krishna, not to me. Similarly, bad results also come, it should go to Krishna. But only thing is that this distress if Krishna gives to a devotee, it's only for a surgery. It is not like a distress for a person who is absorbed in the external energy. One who is looking forward to spiritual life, one who is advancing on the path of Krishna consciousness, for him, when Krishna gives the distress will be felt, but it will only elevate him. It will not degrade him. It will elevate him, because he knows that Krishna, by giving me this distress, is helping me to get out of this material existence. Because if Krishna doesn't give me that experience in this world, I will not become serious in my spiritual life. This will be the realization. These are all the factors behind Kunti Devi's statement to Krishna. When Kunti Devi said, Bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karmavi shravanasmaranarhani karishya nidikechanam. Then, you are given me this distress only for one reason. Avidya kama karmavi. This avidya kama karmavi is nothing but those people who are under the influence of external energy. Avidya kamam karmam. Three things they do. Avidya means ignorance from these desires will come and they will plunge into action straight away. All kinds of rajasic and tamasic activities. These are the symptoms of a person who are under the influence of the lower modes of nature. Avidya kama karma bhi. So, Kunti Devi said to Krishna, avidya kama karma bhi, one is acting in that. In order to bring them out of that, if they hear about you, shravana smaranarhani, if they can hear about you and remember about you, only for that purpose you have appeared in this world. Kunti Devi gave this verdict to Krishna. So, you can always notice this, that all the great devotees, they knew this science very well. They knew this science very well. Even if you take into Mahabharata war, you will see how Bhishma and Drona even knew this very well. That they were on Kaurava's side. But some of their decisions, what they have made, if you look at it, you can see they were aware of this. They were aware of this. I'll give you an example. When Bhishma and Drona, both of them were killed in the Mahabharata war, isn't it? In the Mahabharata war. If you study Bhagavad Gita simply as verses, it's no good. Because Acharyas have analyzed Bhagavad Gita and understood why Vedavyas presented all these personalities in Bhagavad Gita, and to go through there a deeper insight into their own consciousness or their own way of analyzing things. Bhishma knew that he had this curse from Amba, that she went and performed penances and she was given the birth of Shikhandi to kill him, isn't it? To kill him. And Bhishma knew everything, that he was going to be killed like this. In spite of that, he allowed to fight against Shikhandi at the end, isn't it? In the Mahabharata war, you can see. You may wonder, how come, knowing very well that Shikhandi is going to kill him, he decided to fight and he decided to allow Shikhandi to kill him at the end? All these questions will come. In our war, when we fight here in this world today, we'll keep as much things as secret as possible, isn't it? We have a different perception. Everything has to be done without the knowledge of the opposite side. But here in Mahabharata war, you find something different. Drona was going to be killed by Drishtadyumna. Drona was going to be killed by Drishtadyumna. And Drona allowed that to happen. If you look in the Mahabharata war, you will see Drishtadyumna was given that opportunity to kill Drona. And Drona allowed that to happen. Bhishma allowed that to happen. Why? Why did that happen? Because both Drona as well as Bhishma were such elevated personalities that this death is only for the body. This was in their real understanding, was very deeply in their mind. They had no difficulty in, and if it gets lost, the body is going to go. What does it matter? This realization both Bhishma and Drona already had. That's why they were not thinking like us. When we go to the war, it's different. Bhishma and Drona, when they were fighting the war, already their consciousness was so high that they were able to accept it. That this body, they know, because you see, this is an important point, that prarabdham will go its own way. That you can't stop it. Prarabdham means the karmam that is matured already. That is matured already. For example, this material body is the prarabdham today. Is prarabdham today. Prarabdha karmam is manifested in this form. And similarly, the mind, the intelligence, false ego, everything. They are all part of this gross existence, isn't it? From the gross to subtle, that way it comes. So they will demand, and they are already decided. Destiny will take its course, and destiny will dictate its own way. Where the body should go, when it should die, where it should die, how it should die, what diseases should come, and which diseases should leave the body, how long the disease should stay. All these things are already determined by the destiny. Destiny has decided that. We have no freedom on these things. We are falsely thinking we have freedom. That is our foolishness. Our foolishness. We have no freedom to do anything, any of these things. Destiny will take its own course. Did the disease come to me asking my permission first? It came when it wanted to come, isn't it? In spite of looking after the body well, still it comes when it wants to come. And I think it will leave me. I take all antibiotics and thinking that it will leave any time, 5 days, 7 days, sometimes months it goes. It doesn't leave you. Sometimes it leaves earlier also. So there is no freedom there to anybody. I did not want to grow up. I wanted to stay as a young man. Do I have any freedom? What freedom have I got? Before you know, you are an old man. Before you know, arthritis and all the other cancer, diabetes, everything has come. Before you know, you are gone from this world. Where is the freedom? So gross body, gross mind, intelligence, they have no freedom. They are already decided what it is going, how long it's going to stay in this world, how many years, what it's going to experience, how it's going to suffer, enjoy. All these things are already determined, already fixed up. Krishna says, don't waste your time with these things. Analyzing the body, analyzing the mind, analyzing intelligence. Let that go on its own. Let that go on its own. But there is one thing behind all these things which you should be inquiring after. That is the soul. Therefore, the conclusion of all the acharyas is that you have no freedom on the bodily platform, on the mental platform, on the intellectual platform. You have no freedom. You have complete freedom in the spiritual platform. So if you want to make some success in this life, the only success you can have is what you have done in your spiritual platform. Whatever you have done in your bodily platform is all a loss at the end, because body will go at the end. So what can you gain from that? This is the question Krishna is asking. That, but on the other hand, on the spiritual platform, you have complete freedom. There is nothing to stop you in the spiritual life. There's nothing to stop you in the spiritual life. If you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam begins with this statement in the first canto, second chapter. You will see Suda Goswami says to Shaunaka Rishi, Chedameda Ranavidam Stidam Satve Prasidadi. There you will find a verse there, can't remember. He says there very clearly that the dharma sanushtita pumsam vishvaksena kathasuyal nolpadayed yadiradim shramayevahi kevalam. This is what that verse means. This is what I have told you now. This is what that verse means. What is that? Dharma sanushtita pumsam vishvaksena kathasuyal. You have executed everything perfectly with your body, mind, intelligence, according to your understanding of the Vedic instructions, whatever it is, according to dharma. You have done everything. But, Vishwaksena Kathasuyal, if you have not utilized your energy in advancing on the spiritual path, no ulpadayed yadiradim, if you have not developed Krishna consciousness, Suda Goswami says there, shramayevahi kevalam, all it is that you have wasted your time in this world. This is the conclusion. You have just wasted your time in this world if you have not cultivated Krishna consciousness. So in other words, this is exactly the same thing here, that we have no freedom as far as the body, mind, intelligence, false ego, these are concerned. Leave that to themselves. Let it go on its own way. But on the spiritual platform, you have complete freedom to develop Krishna consciousness. In order to, if one has the desire to go back to Krishna, because that is how to make this life profitable. This is the instruction of the Bhagavatam. If you want to make this life profitable, Krishna says, absorb in spiritual life. Spiritual life is that profitable business in this world. Not making billions of pounds or billions of dollars. That's not profitable. That's a loss according to Bhagavatam. So here, you will see here that the Krishna has spoken about it. And because as long as the false ego is there, we have also seen that the mind will also be there. When the vasanas and the false ego completely goes away, what exists is the pure consciousness. Then, important thing, what Krishna has mentioned before, if all the time you give your attention to the happiness and distress of life, you won't see the complete thing behind it. The complete thing behind everything is the soul. But when happiness and distress comes, your mind gets affected by that. You start thinking, this went wrong in me, this is what I've done wrong, I lost it because of that. And that pulls you down. You feel affected by that, isn't it? You feel affected by that. That is distress. Or if something goes better, or say you took a lottery ticket and you won, what happens then? It will be celebration all the way, isn't it? And you'll be thinking, "Why? How clever I am. I got the right numbers this time." And when I look to the television and the number is coming out, you will even smash the television down when you win. It could go to that extent even. People do all such things. Have you seen in the football ground when they score a goal, what they do like this, two hands like that? Where is it all coming from? It is that understanding that I've done it. When it gets to very gross form, it manifests like that. When a very subtle form, it comes to everybody. It's not that only they have got it. Everyone has got it. Everybody has got it. So this has to go from us. This disease from inside. And that's the most difficult thing. Once that disease goes away, and then Krishna becomes the controller. Krishna is doing everything. Krishna is getting the result. We are just a tool in Krishna's hands. And as a devotee, once you develop that consciousness, then everything becomes much more easier to understand in the Ekadasha Skandam. So, Krishna is experiencing everything. That's the most important thing. Krishna is experiencing everything. Therefore, happiness comes, Krishna is experiencing. Distress comes, Krishna is behind it. Sleep comes, Krishna is experiencing. Hunger comes, Krishna is experiencing. So, what is not, Krishna is not experiencing. Everything, Krishna is experiencing. So, once this has come firmly rooted in our mind, then this confusion will go from inside. Then this confusion will go from inside. Up to that point, everything is me. I am doing it. Results will come. I've done such wonderful things. So, Krishna made one more statement here, Pipalayana Maharshi. That is also a very important statement. After we have realized this, Pipalayana Maharshi says, after we have realized this point, what is that point? I am not the Karta, I am not the Bhokta. Krishna is the Karta, Krishna is the Bhokta. If you have realized this, what will Krishna do at that point? That he says in the verse, in the 39th verse, you can see there. How Pipalayana Maharshi puts it very nicely. He says here, in the second part of verse 39 in chapter 3, he says, Sanne ed indriyagane aham ija prasupte kudasta ashaya mrade tadunusmradirunnaham. That what will happen to one is, at this point what will happen to him is that everything in his mind, intelligence and everything, has become complete with Krishna consciousness. That all through the senses he is experiencing Krishna. All through the senses he is experiencing Krishna. Up to this point, intelligence, mind, senses, they were all separate for him. They were doing something different for his own sense gratification. He was using the senses, mind, intelligence. But when all of them is ignored and he has come to his spiritual platform and analyzing it, he is seeing that through his senses he is only experiencing Krishna, through his mind he is experiencing Krishna, through his intelligence he is experiencing Krishna, and nothing else exists except Krishna's part and parcels or Krishna's presence in this creation. Who said this? Lord Shiva said this. If you want, when you go home, you can take the fourth canto and look into this verse. It is a verse in the fourth canto which talks about it. There is a thing called Rudragidam. Rudragidam is the prayers of Lord Shiva where he talks to Prachetas. In that Rudragidam, one verse, it is the chapter 24, verse 64. Fourth canto, chapter 24, verse 64. There you will see, Adho vidrustam purusham shandamanda bhunte krishikair madhusaragamya. That That is how Lord Shiva says about this to Prachetas. A person, one who has come to that stage, what will happen to him is, he will be simply drinking nectar all the time. Because he is in bliss, and he is drinking nectar all the time. Madhusarahamya. Madhusarahamya means, just like a honeybee goes and drinks little bit of honey from this flower, little from the next flower, little from the next flower, like this, from all over the creation, he will be only drinking nectar through the senses. These are all words, but it's difficult to understand what it all means, isn't it? Because this is the words of Lord Shiva. What happens to a person who has come to that state of consciousness? This in the fourth canto. You will see in the Bhagavadam so many statements like this at different places. Great personality speaking about the situation of a self-realized soul. Self-realized soul's experience are discussed in the Bhagavadam. Bhagavadam's beauty is like that. That through such nice stories and presentations, slowly Vedavyas is elevating one to a higher understanding of self-realization. So here, he says here, Adho vidristam purisham shandamandar bhungte krishikair madhusaragamya. Bhungte krishikair, krishika means the senses. He is drinking through the senses, just like a madhusaragamya. Just like a madhu, like the honey bee drinks the honey, he is constantly drinking that. Purusham shandamandar, and he is sitting inside. Because at that time, it is a realized state. He does not experience everything what we are experiencing today. That has no significance at that point. Whatever in this body, he is still there if he has not left the body. Because prarabdham is not finished yet, so he can't leave the body. Everything is still there. When the prarabdham is over, he leaves this body and goes back. He doesn't have to come back again. So important point to learn from this is that Krishna gives that understanding to the devotee. That is what Vipalayana Maharshi says. Sanne yad indriyaganehamicha prasuptem. That the indriyagana means the complete senses. Five senses of knowledge and five senses of action, totally 10. All the 10 of them. 10 means, for example, in the realized state, what happens to him? Even here, in that state of existence, even while the body is not gone, but still what will happen to that person is, he is drinking nectar through the eye. In other words, everything what he sees through the eyes are all Krishna's creations in a Krishna conscious way. He will see that. Everything is nectar for him through the eyes, through the ears, through the nose, through the tongue. When he is touching, when he is experiencing the taste, he is experiencing Krishna there. When he is smelling a nice flower, he is experiencing Krishna there. When he is seeing something beautiful in this creation, he is experiencing Krishna there. When he is hearing something, beautiful music, he is experiencing Krishna there. That is Krishna consciousness. And that stage will come to him when he has come to this understanding. So the first understanding is to cross over this huddle, aham karta, aham bhokta. One has to come out of that. And when he comes to this realized state, he says, Sanne idi indriyaganeham ija prasupte kudastam ashaya mrade tadunusmradir naham. That at that time, ashaya mrade, Ashay Hriday means he has no more upadhis. Upadhis means this conditioning doesn't exist. In other words, senses, mind, intelligence and all cannot have any influence on him anymore. They may exist, but they cannot control him anymore. At the moment, what's happening to us? Mind and intelligence is controlling us most of the time. And to a large amount of time, body. Isn't it? In a day, how many hours we spend to maintain the body? Body takes most of the time, isn't it? Eating, sleeping, bathing, all other activities. If you consider, and if you add the gym work and all that, going to gym, and the what else? jogging, whatever that is, all the other names associated with that. If you add all that, and you see in the Jagrat state, how many hours goes for the body? And if you make a chart, how much for the body, how much for the mind, how much for the intelligence, how much for the soul? Who will have the minimum? The soul will have the minimum, isn't it? Even when you are doing something for the soul, you are busy with the body and the mind. So it's not so easy to stay in that spiritual platform. But Krishna is saying here, Pranayama Maharshi says here, Sanne yad indriyaganeham ija prasupte kudastam ashayamrade tadanusmritirna. As soon as he has come out of this ahangaram, false ego, Ahamicha, he said that before that. Sane idindriyaganeham ahamicha prasupte. Ahamicha, aham, I am, once that is gone from inside, all the senses, and they have become pure, purified, immediately, what will Krishna do? Prasupte kudastam ashaya hridayam, prasupte sati. And also the false ego and everything is absorbed, or it is dissolved at that stage. Prasupte sati. At that time, Krishna will shine inside. Krishna will shine inside. That is why the specific word is used here is kudastam. Kudastam means he is hiding there, ready to come out. When all these things happen. Only when all these things happen, it will come out. Otherwise, it won't happen. So, you know now why he is not coming out. Who is inside, it's not coming out. Why? Because we are busy with our mind and intelligence. And this mind and intelligence, when that ceases its function, and here says, Sanne idindriya ganeham ganeham ichap prasupte kudastam ashehrade tadunu smritirna. Automatically, tadunu smritirna, the word used is smriti. Smriti means his memory will come out. It is not that he has to come from outside and sit in, he's already there. If you look into Bhagavad Gita also, you will see the same thing. What did Krishna say? Arjuna say to Krishna, Nashto moha smritir ledhva. My moham, my illusion is gone and I got back my memory. That means he remembered something before, isn't it? That's why it has come back to me now. Smriti means that. Smritir ledhva. Though it is not something, new thing he has learned. No, it was already there. Due to the influence of the modes of nature and to our conditioning, we have become like this. Once we come out of it, we go back to our original state again, back to Krishna's servant or Krishna's devotee. That consciousness will come back to us, proper devotee. That consciousness will come back to us. That is what in these verses Pipalayana Maharshi has spoken. Now, as I mentioned before, that in the Bhagavadam, all these verses are very, very important. Then, as soon as this false ego, where it has come from, if it goes back to its own origin, where it has come from, everything will happen. Where it has come from, everything will happen. And for this, we have the sadhana bhakti to begin with. This cannot happen by our endeavor. We have said this before so many times. It can only happen by Krishna's mercy. Can only happen by Krishna's mercy. So when Krishna gives this understanding to us, that's why it said like that, Sanne idindriyaganejam yah prasupte kudastam ashayamarni tadanu smradirna. Kudastam, from inside Krishna comes out and makes us realize that it is like this. And then we see in a different way everything. So therefore Krishna has to do it. We can't do it. We can't do it. We can only do these things, sadhana bhakti, and try to wipe out this mind intelligence as much as possible. But inside, he will come out at the right time when he wants to come out, when he thinks that we are ready. And that is kripa, Krishna's mercy. Not by our endeavor. Not by our endeavor. So, we will not know that. We will not even know that when that happens. Then, you may study. This cannot be done neither by intelligence, nor by studying all the shastram. This will not happen. That is also there. They are only tools to help you to get there. But only by Krishna's mercy this will happen. To give you an example, there is a famous saint in Tamil Nadu called as Jnana Sambandar. His name was Jnana Sambandar. He was a devotee of Lord Shiva. Great devotee of Lord Shiva. So in one of the famous temples, his father goes with him when he was 3-year-old boy. A 3-year-old child, he goes with him to bathe in the tank, in a temple tank. When he was going to bathe there, he told his child to sit on the steps. The child didn't want to bathe. So he told him to sit there, let me go and bathe in the tank. The boy was only 3-year-old. Jnana Sambandar was 3-year-old at that time. When the father was bathing in the tank, the child was hungry to drink some milk. He wanted to drink some milk. The young child wanted to have some milk drink. So he started crying. The father said to him to keep quiet till I finish my bath. I'll come back and then I will get you the milk. So when the child was crying, father was not willing to do very much. Father was bathing. At that time, Shiva and Sri Parvati comes to him, and Sri Parvati breastfed him. Sri Parvati breastfed this child. Sri Parvati breastfed this Jnana Sambandha. When the father finished, he stopped crying after that. When the father came back after bathing, he saw the milk dripping from the lips of the child. He is asking the child, who has given you milk? Because he was frightened that somebody else has fed him something which is not acceptable, or something, thoughts came to his mind and asked the child, who has fed the milk? But by now, by Sri Parvati's milk, that knowledge is already risen inside. And that knowledge came out in the famous songs what he spoke at the age of 3, glorifying Lord Shiva and Sri Parvati, saying that Sri Parvati fed me this milk and this was the result of that. So like this, so when the mercy comes from Krishna, it comes through different people, different personalities. Either it comes directly from Krishna or it comes through any of Krishna's representative. It can come through anybody. But it has to come from there. It has to come from Krishna. Krishna decides who should have that spiritual realization, who shouldn't have that. And when the devotee is ready for that, at the right time, he will get it. He cannot get it otherwise. It has to come from there only. Once a great devotee tried very hard to realize the self. After so many years of trying, nothing was happening. So he goes to his spiritual master and says to him, that I have tried everything, but nothing is working. He says to him, try through the process of mercy, he says. Till now, you are trying through intelligence. Give up that process of trying through intelligence. And intelligence and the mind. And try through the process of mercy. What is that process of mercy? Surrendering to Krishna. That is all. And that process of mercy, when Krishna wants it, it will come. When Krishna wants it will happen. That was the important point. Look at it through mercy, he says. Don't look at it through intelligence. This was his words. Look at it through mercy and not through intelligence. Then, when you look through intelligence, everything is darkness. Everything is darkness. You can't see anything. How far can you look through intelligence? How far can you go with intelligence? Not very far. Up to a certain point you can analyze. Through Shastram you can find out. A 3-year-old child cannot realize a self through books. A 3-year-old cannot sign through intelligence. Cannot know by studying Shastram. But he got realized how. How that's possible? That is Kripa. That is mercy. That's the only way. All great personalities, you can ask anyone. Ultimately they will answer you this. That it is by Krishna's grace that they have realized the self. In other words, they have reached where they are. Only by Krishna's grace, not by their intelligence. Nobody will say that. All the great acharyas, great devotees, great personalities, all self-realized souls, they will always say, they are fine, just like as though they have copied the information from one to another. Conclusion is one, only one conclusion. By grace only, this will happen. Krishna's mercy, in other words. So that is why this understanding is important. This understanding is important. Just like that when one thinks that this body is nothing but a machine for Krishna to operate. Krishna is the operator and I am the machine. This consciousness is important. This is the realization from that. Just like as much as that just like a leaf is a part of the tree. Leaf is a part of the tree. Or anything in this. Like a child cannot stay without the mother. Child cannot stay without the mother. Our existence is also connected to Krishna. Without Krishna's support, our existence, we don't have any existence independently from Krishna. So that is the most important thing to remember. There was one sannyasi who once... he was a devotee of Lord Ramachandra. And he had a great realization that constantly by chanting the holy name of Ramachandra, he had these two names, Ramarama, all the time in his lips. Through that he realized. And realized in the sense that he had no other business in this world except to chant the holy name.
except to chant the holy name. The holy name and Krishna's holy name, Ramchandra's holy name, in the Mahamantra when we chant, this is the understanding we have to get at the end. He chanted and so long that eventually he did not see anything else in this world existing. He couldn't see anything else existing in this world, everything related to Krishna. That is that state of purity that he has attained. So once it so happened, he was sitting underneath the tree and chanting the holy name of Ramachandra. He was sitting and chanting the holy name of Ramachandra. By chance it so happened, some dacoits came that way after they have looted the treasury, the king's treasury. They have looted and they have with the booty or the looted wealth, they were running. While they were running, the police was chasing them. The police was chasing them. So our devotee was sitting down underneath the tree and he was chanting the holy name. The thieves or the dacoits realized that the police is getting very closer. So rather than getting captured, they decided to throw the whole thing near him and run away from there. So whatever they had in their hand, they left it with this devotee and they escaped from there. So when the police came over and they saw all the stolen goods next to this devotee there, they thought that they have found the thief. They caught him because everything, all the looted articles were lying there with him. So they caught him and got all the goods, what they have taken, all the cash or wealth, whatever they have taken, and brought them in front of the judge in the court. But most of the people know this devotee very well, that for years and years he has been in spiritual life, had never shown any interest in the material activities, and never acquired any wealth in this world for his own self-enjoyment, or has no interest in sense gratification. So they couldn't, many of the people could not accept it, that he was responsible for this. So they brought him in, they brought this devotee in front of the judge, and kept him, stood, made him to stand there. So the judge, seeing the information he received from the public, and also he himself was aware of this person before, he wanted to question him before giving him any punishment. So he asked several questions to him. Several questions he asked him. When did you take this wealth? How did you do it? And what was the idea behind? So many questions like a judge will ask normally. A criminal. He was asking all the questions to our devotee criminal. So he answered. His answer. Yesterday, Ramachandra made me to go and bathe in the tank. I bathed. When Ramachandra bathed in the tank, Ramachandra wanted me to get dressed properly. I dressed. Then Ramachandra wanted me to chant the holy name. So I sat there and I was chanting the holy name. When Ramachandra asked me, was chanting the holy name, suddenly by that route, some thieves came with some stolen goods and they throw it at me. Ramachandra wanted to throw that at me, so Ramachandra threw that at me. And then when Ramachandra gone, Ramachandra came in the form of this policeman to me. And when Ramachandra came to me and told me that I am under arrest, Ramachandra has arrested me. So Ramachandra took me to the court and Ramachandra is now asking me why I have done all these things. So Ramachandra is telling me that this is what has happened. Now you can do what you want, he said. So this is the state of consciousness of a devotee who has come to that state. He is not seeing that in everything, anything and everything he is responsible. No. His ham karta, ham bhokta has gone completely from his mind. And therefore he is able to speak like this. He is able to speak like this. So there is the difference between a realized person. For him there is no fear. He is not seeing. He is seeing Ramachandra is giving instructions through the judge to him. If he has to, Ramachandra wants to lock me up, let it be so. If Ramachandra wants to release me, I am going out. So this is the surrender. This is the surrender of the devotee. So when we chant the holy name of Krishna, Hare Krishna Mahamantra also, this is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that Trinaravi Shunijena Tarorabhi Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. With this consciousness if one chants, with this understanding one stands, why am I chanting? To get out of this Aham Karta Aham Bhokta business. To come out of it. Krishna is doing, even while chanting you have to realize, let Krishna chant the holy name through me.
Even Krishna chanti, holy name through me. Let Krishna engage me in reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Let Krishna engage me in cooking the prasadam for him. Or let Krishna engage me in the Harinam. Whatever, everything Krishna is doing that through me, I am just the instrument. This realization is important. Because otherwise, all this discussion about this high philosophy is useless. Because we aren't getting that realization, because we want to discuss high philosophy, how the mind work, intelligence work, how the soul moves from this to that and all. But we are not willing to accept this surrender side of it. That's where the problem is, that aham karta aham bhokta has to go. For such people, sanye yad indriya gane ahamija prasuptam kudastha ashaya hrade tadanu smritirna. It is at that point Krishna will give that realization, not before than that. Intellectually and mentally you can card, you can do all the courses and seminars in this world. Nothing will happen. It will get a piece of paper, certificate, I've done that course. That's frame it and keep it. But that's all you can do with that. Nothing else. Sanne yad indriya gane hamija prasupte kudastam ashaya hrade tadanu smritirna. That smriti has to come from inside. That does not come by external side. That comes from sadhana. That comes from sadhana and surrender to Krishna. These are the two things. Sadhana and surrender. Sharanagati and that strong faith in Krishna's words. These are the two things for a devotee. Absolutely mandatory. Necessary. One is surrender and the strong faith in Krishna's words. Krishna has explained everything to his best capacity. In other words, unfortunately, we misuse Bhagavad Gita. What can we do? Somewhere I noticed, Bhagavad Gita for successful in life, for success in life, it says. You know what success in life in the modern world means, isn't it? What is success in the modern world means? You make a lot of money, you're successful. You make a lot of followers, you're successful. You become very famous in this world, you're successful. Isn't it? So they say, with Bhagavad Gita, you can become very successful in life. Because their concept of success is all these three things. Three, four things what I mentioned. And they say, if you study Bhagavad Gita, you can become very successful. But think about this. Look at Krishna. He was not successful then. Throughout his life was a disaster. From birth, right up to end, he has to fight with people. Where was the success in that? What did he success gain at the end? So the speaker itself was losing in everything. Krishna himself, even at the last minute, the so-called materialist, he will do everything to protect his family, society, everything. And at the end, he considers that a success if he has got everything right. If the family survived well, everybody is doing well, children are doing well, friends and relatives and social life, everything is flourishing well, then he considers he is a success in life. But for poor Krishna, it was a disaster. His own people were fighting each other at the end. So even Bhagavad Gita, Krishna could not follow properly, they'll say like that. So what do you say about that? The so-called people who are using Bhagavad Gita to propagate their own ideology, they should think twice before they talk nonsense. Krishna's science of Bhagavad Gita is for the soul. It is for the soul to go further, not to take this success in the material life. Such a foolish understanding. And there are people to run these courses and there are people to buy these courses. This is their understanding. That Bhagavad Gita was not, it is a transcendental science. Great, great acharyas have taken Bhagavad Gita and went through that with that to the spiritual world. And that Bhagavad Gita, we are using it to motivate us to make money in this world and to become successful in life. See, just see the misfortune of these followers. So, unfortunately, Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada wanted us to understand from this point of view. It is the science of the soul. Going back to the soul is more important. And that science is discussed in the Ekadasha Skandam as well as in the Bhagavad Gita. And if we don't give credence to it, don't understand it and ignore everything and go by all the other rubbish in this world, we are going to be misled and the losers at the end. Therefore, Krishna is saying like this, kudastam ash kudastam sanneham indriyaganeham ija prasuptam kudastam ashaya hrade tadanusmritirna. That smriti will come back at that point. Krishna says like that. the disease is the same for everybody.
Everyone has the same disease. And the remedy, the medicine is also the same. Isn't it? What is the disease? Disease is this false ego and false identification with the body. And what is the remedy? Remedy is also is the knowledge of Bhagavadam. Srimad Bhagavadam. That is a remedy also. That if this medicine goes inside, the disease will go away. The disease will go away. That disease, that is what we were discussing about these two things for a devotee. Most important things. One is Sharanagati, surrender to Krishna. Secondly, complete surrender to Krishna. And secondly, another most important thing, complete total faith in Krishna's words. Total faith in Krishna's words. This Sharanagati and Vishwasam. That's what you will see in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's surrendering process, Sharanagati, these two things mentioned as given the most important things. Without these things, nothing will happen. Devotees' progress depends on these two. You can see in all the great devotees, in their life if you look, these were the two very fundamental factors in their life. What are they? One is the Sharanagati to Krishna all the time, and secondly, this Vishwasam or faith in Krishna's words. He would not mince words with anything. That means Srimad Bhagavatam. What is Krishna's words means? Shastra means Bhagavadam and Bhagavad Gita. These are Krishna's words. And that is only the authority, nothing else. If Krishna has said something in Bhagavadam, that is absolute. No more questioning after that. Krishna doesn't need to convince me or you or anyone for that matter what the absolute truth is. It's up to us. And Krishna is saying to us what the process is. So, after all these things were spoken, Piparayana Maharshi withdraw from that scene. And it was then that we saw that how Avirhotra Maharshi came at this time. Avirhotra Maharshi is that person who has offered everything. In other words, he has done proper Sharanagati. In other words, that's what it means. Everything, one who has offered everything in the fire of knowledge. Fire of knowledge. As a sacrifice he has made. And that is not easy for the conditioned soul. So therefore, Avirhotra Maharshi is answering this question. As the first step, the issue came up about karmam. Because karmam is the most fundamental issue involved in this. So karmam has to be discussed. And therefore the question came up from Piparayana Maharshi, after the king Nimi, that I have some doubts now that why karmam is important thing, that karmam was not spoken. So Raja Vaja, he says, karma yogam madadana purusho yena samskrita vidhuehashu karmani naishkarmyam vindade param. That why this question of karmam came up? So far we were discussing about jnanam and bhakti, isn't it? Jnanam and bhakti. Reason for that is that this jnanam and bhakti will not manifest in a person who has done a lot of karmam, vikarmam, or impure karmam in previous lifetimes or this lifetime. Jnanam and bhakti won't develop inside. This is the reason. So therefore, it is very difficult for a person to develop pure devotion or knowledge inside so long as this karmic influence is there. Karmic influence in a person. That karmam, as I mentioned before, that karmam is only related to the body and the mind and intelligence. There's nothing to do with the soul. But because they are also, and we don't have the strength to reject body, mind and intelligence straight away. Have we? We are not in a position to do that. So therefore, it has become important. We have to go back to the body again, like Krishna did in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna started Bhagavad Gita also with Karma Yoga. Otherwise, why karma was given importance in Bhagavad Gita? Because they know that the so-called identity with the body is so strong at the moment that in order to free ourselves from this identity of the body, it is necessary to come back to Karma Yoga. So that is why these questions have come up. Karma yogam vadadana purusho yena samskrita vidhuye shashu karmani naishkarmyam vindade param. How should one execute karma yogam? This question has come up at that time. And in answer to that, how should one should execute karma yogam? So how one can advance? And evam prasna rishin purva apracham pitirandike na bruvan brahmana putra tatra karanam uchadam. Another important thing here was that Avirhotra Maharshi was told by King Nimi, earlier I have asked this question to Sanat Kumara Maharshi when he came to talk to my father Ikshvaku.
when Ichwagu was there, one day Sanat Kumara Maharshi came there. I was a young boy, so I asked Sanat Kumara Maharshi about Karma Yoga. He didn't even answer to me. He walked away from there. Why did he do that? This was a question in his mind, in King Nimi's mind. So he put that also, that question here. In answer to that, Avirhotra Maharshi, he start now answering that question. So from now on, I think till the end of the chapter, you will see all the verses are related to this Karma Yoga. And that is a very important topic. We are going back to Bhagavad Gita again to some degree, which we'll discuss next Sunday. Meanwhile, we were thinking about this trip to India. And those, I don't know how many people will be interested. First of all, in the summer season, it is going to be very expensive. That's what I found out, first thing. The ticket cost is very high. And also, considering the time we require to visit at least the most of the major temples and the important places, minimum 3 weeks is necessary. Otherwise, spending all that money to go there and to come back without spending enough time will also be not very right thing to do. So that's another thing. So 3 weeks time, and the cost, looking at the ticket cost of about £650, and the other cost of the food, accommodation and other things, and particularly the transport. Transport is going to be expensive because I looked at the prices on the internet. The bus costs quite a lot because of, even if you take a 25-30 seats bus, air-conditioned bus, depending on their charges, out-of-station allowances and cost of the fuel and everything, it's going to be quite expensive. So Naveen and me have worked out roughly a cost of about £1,250, £1,250 per person. And I know it's going to be a lot of money. So unless, if you all want to go, I am not very enthusiastic, I'll be open about that. But if you all feel that we should go, please give your names to Naveen and we'll see if we have enough number to travel, and if it is viable, we will go. We have no problem with that, but otherwise we can drop it also. Either way, it doesn't matter. So this is one important point I wanted to mention. So £1,250 is going to be a budget figure, shouldn't be more than that, plus 20 days time, and the dates, tentatively we thought that, I looked into the Brishaway's time schedule, and they say that they have direct flights to Chennai, flying from Heathrow, and 26th of July, leaving 26th July, returning back on the 16th of August. So I leave that completely up to you and to think about it. And please, within a week's time, if you let Naveen know, we can make a decision afterwards. 26th of July to 16th of August. There's so many places. I can give you the complete itinerary if you decide to go. First of all, Chennai is a fairly large state. There's over quite a loads of temples and places to visit, Vaishnava shrines, Shiva temples. This whole state is full of temples. And we have prepared a plan to stay in four different places. 4 days in Chennai, 4 or 5 days in Tiruchi, and 4 or 5 days in Madurai, and another 2 or 3 days in Kanyakumari, to cover different temples and different areas. That we can, Naveen will send you an email if you want, anybody wants the plans, details, everything. It's already sent this morning to everyone, most of the people who have given him the email address. So if you want, you can also give your email address to Naveen, he will email that to you. And whatever it is, if you want to make that decision, and let Naveen know about it, and then we can see after that. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. I'll stop there. At that time, I see.